Let's pray together. O God, open your word to our hearts, and our hearts to your word, and help us to understand it, and to obey it, so that Jesus will receive praise. Amen. Well, each new year gives us a chance to reflect on our lives and possibly even try and change them through New Year's resolutions. And at the beginning of this year, many of us are embarking on a new journey. There are people here this morning with job interviews this coming Tuesday, for example. There's others here today waiting medical tests and the results of those and not knowing what that will bring. There's others here today who are starting a new year without a loved one. It's tough. For many of us, we are walking into the unknown. We may have come to the end of a part of our life, and we may be unsure of what the future holds. But if we do know our Father God, then we can hold on to his promises to us, knowing that he will walk with us on our journey. When the time is right, Father God always clearly calls us out from our current situation and into something new. We can't always understand or see God's plan for us. And there are times when we would not want to see it or know his plan. But he does have a plan for each of us. And he promises this to us. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." So this morning, we're starting a new series of talks on the life of Abraham. Did you know he's mentioned over 300 times in the Bible, including nearly 100 times in the New Testament? So God wants us to know about this great man of God. Abraham uttered no prophecy. He wrote no books. He sang no song. He gave no law, but he is a great example for us to help us walk in the faith and to hold on to God's promises. In Romans we read, "Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous." What a challenge for me. What a challenge for you possibly too. Could I say that I, Peter, have never wavered in believing God's promises? Perhaps I have a lot more to learn about Abraham than you. But because this is the first in a series, let's have a little bit of context, which I hope will help in the coming weeks as well. So let's start with our history lesson for the morning. How does Abraham fit in with the great Egyptian pyramids or Skara Brae that many of us will have seen in the Orkneys? Well, generally it's believed he lived around 2,000 years before Christ. It's all too easy to assume that in Abraham's day, the world population was struggling out of the Stone Age, Whereas across the Middle East, cultures had already come into birth and had been in existence for hundreds of years before he was born. An example of that is the earliest settlement ever found in Jericho, dated back 5,000 years before Abraham. Abraham was part of the Sumer civilization, the earliest known civilization in the historic region of southern Mesopotamia. And that, of course, leads us on to our geography lesson for the morning. Abraham lived in the Ur of the Chaldees in southern Iraq, as we know it today. And we're told that in Genesis 11 that his father Terah and the whole family left Ur with the intent to travel to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, up in the north, Terah settled there and did not complete his journey. So we've started now talking about family, so let's go on to genealogy. There must be something important in this too for us. Abraham was an ancestor of Adam. David was an ancestor of Abraham. Jesus was an ancestor of... Thank you. I'm glad someone's listening this morning. I've even got it wrong in my notes. Descendant. I got it round the wrong way, didn't I? Because I played... You know what I mean. So there's something in this for us. I'm not going to explain it this morning, but I think as we look at Abraham in the coming weeks, that may help us to remember that they are descendants. Oh, dear. Finally, let's talk about God. It's not quite theology, but I'm going to use the word theology because I don't think of the right word. The relationship between God and man was perfect at creation. But in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we see that man turned their back on God. And man came under judgment three times just in those first 11 chapters. Abraham was chosen by God to restart the relationship between God and man. God was on a mission to rescue a barren world without hope and to bless the people of the world. So finally, I hear you say, to our reading this morning from Genesis chapter 12 and the start of our journey with Abraham. Well, nearly, because I want to start in chapter 11. Terah became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran died in Ur, in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor both married. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abraham, and together they set out from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. And that's the start of our story of Abraham. I'm going to deliberately use the word Abraham because he changed his name partway through, and someone else will explain that to us in the coming weeks. But why did Terah and his family leave Ur? Well, we don't know. Ur was a huge, prosperous city, possibly with over 250,000 people living there. And they had a huge temple because the people worshipped more than 300 different gods. And we know that Abraham's father, Terah, did worship these other gods. So in Genesis chapter 12, we read, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" We don't know how or when or where God spoke to Abraham. We don't know what Abraham knew about God. He may have heard accounts of the creation and the flood. But Abraham knew that God had spoken, and instructed him to go, leaving his country, his people, and his family, and start afresh, well, somewhere, though he didn't know where. God's demands on Abraham were great, but within the limits he could bear. Abraham realized and accepted that there was only one true God. God initiated a fresh start for the world. And to do this, he needed Abraham to leave behind the culture of worshipping many man-made gods and the rituals that surrounded them. Abraham was set apart from his people and culture in order to be part of the people of God. In verse 4 we read, "So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." So Abraham went and took everything with him. He never looked back. He didn't leave a house in Haran just in case. He didn't leave money in the bank just in case. He trusted God and he went. Now I hope you noticed that Abraham was 75 when God called him. Almost out of retirement for God's special purposes. So if you're like me and you're nearer 75 than 25, beware. God may be calling you to something new in 2019. And I dare you to say to God that you're too old to be used by him. I wouldn't do that. Do you remember the words of the prophet Joel? "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." I've never noticed before, but there's nothing there for us middle-aged people. Perhaps there's something special for us to do. Perhaps we, the middle-aged, need to be even closer to God than the old and the young, so that we can hear him clearly speak to us each day. Verse 6. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. God waited till Abraham reached Shechem in the center of Canaan to reveal that this was the promised land. God made four promises to Abraham. He says, "I will bless you," or be in relationship with you. "You will be a blessing to others. I will make you a great nation. I will give you this land." Quite a challenge for God. Abraham knew very little about him. Abraham and Sarah were old, and Sarah was unable to conceive. There were people living in the promised land. To you and I, all of those things seem impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Abraham had to place his trust in the nameless God. Right at the beginning, the story of Abraham says that God does not give up on us. God does not give up on situations that look barren or lost. And Abraham shows us faith and trust in action. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Faith in God who speaks and trust in God who keeps his promises. All we have to do is walk in faith and trust in his promises. And when God speaks to us, and he does, and he will, then we must respond as Abraham did. And just in case you don't believe that these promises, and many others in the Bible as well, do not apply to you, well, Paul writes to the church in Galatia and to us today and says, now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Those promises again, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing to others. So as we'll see in the coming weeks, Abraham, even though he got things wrong, remained faithful. Abraham himself never saw the fulfillment of the promises. When he died, he only owned a small burial field in the Promised Land. And when he died, he only had one true son, born 25 years after that promise. Abraham had not inherited the land or become a great nation. And yet we read in Genesis 24, near the end of his life, that Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. It's not great faith in God that matters. It's faith in a great God that matters. So what about you and what about me? What about us starting at the beginning of this new year? Starting perhaps on a new journey, a new relationship, a new job, walking into the unknown. If we know God, we can hold on to his promises, knowing that he will walk with us. Which of God's promises do you need to hear again this morning and hold on to throughout the coming year? Just going to suggest that in the stillness of this morning, we ask God to remind us of his promises and to give us confidence that as he is a faithful God, he will keep his promises. And on the screen in the next few minutes, we're going to have some of those promises from God to us that you might want to read and hold on to in 2019. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you. God is our strength and refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And where we started, God says to you, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Let's pray. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Father God, help us throughout this year to hold on to your promises. Help us to spend time with you, to talk to you, to listen to you. We ask that you will bless us so that we may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.